You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to this special edition of The Punt. We've got a couple of football matches to look ahead to. We'll also be reacting to the announcement of Roy Hodgson's 26-man squad, provisional squad that is, for the Euros. 23 will go forward for the actual tournament in France. So plenty to look at and plenty to discuss on this edition of the podcast. Sam Norris here, and joining me in the studio today is Dave Kellner. How are you, DK?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Not too bad at all. Yeah, just absorbing Roy Hodgson's squad announcement this morning. He's almost made it a little bit tricky for himself by announcing this 26 provisional squad, and then three of these will be for the chop as well, DK. First things first, happy enough with this squad?
I don't think there are any real huge surprises in there, and it's kind of what I expected to see. My dad keeps on telling me we've not won a major international tournament without a West Ham player for 50 years, given that there were, three in 1966, and there's no West Ham player in that squad again. I've been beating the Mark Noble drum, much to the disgust of some of the listeners out there. But I actually think Mikel Antonio was one that I could have seen in a provisional 26-man squad because of his versatility and the way he finished the season. And he's been such a huge threat as well in terms of his aerial ability at the back end of the season. But no real surprises. Jermaine Defoe maybe will feel slightly aggrieved given he's finished the season so strongly. Michael Carrick could have been in there, but I think Hodgson is keen to, I think with this squad, look to the future. And no real surprise to see Marcus Rashford in, given that he is a youngster that needs blooding and needs some, not tournament experience necessarily, but some experience with the national squad. I'd expect him to be one of the three that misses out, but good to see him in this squad.
Yeah, correct. And I think, you know, a lot of people will make the point that on the basis of his scoring record, Jermaine Defoe has obviously scored a lot more goals this season. But in terms of travelling out to France as a fifth striker, it would be of no benefit to 33-year-old Jermaine Defoe to sit on the bench and not get a kick. Whereas if it was Marcus Rashford in those shoes, albeit he probably won't make the final 23, it would be a lot more beneficial. And as you said, blooding the younger players and getting a little bit of tournament experience into them, because Jermaine Defoe will learn absolutely nothing from travelling and being the fifth striker.
Yeah, I think that's what Hodgson's thinking as well with this 26-man squad, in terms of who's going to train with that sort of intensity, even if they know they're probably not going to be in the 23. Rashford's one of those players that I think will, because he'll enjoy the experience as a youngster, whereas Andy Carroll and Jermaine Defoe might not, and Michael Carrick wouldn't want to be in that 26 necessarily, knowing that he's going to be chopped. But the only problem they've got is that you're only going to see Rashford twice, because Manchester United obviously got the FA Cup at the weekend before England's first in these series of three friendlies. So he might not get as much of a look at Rashford as he would like, Hodgson. But yeah, I don't think there are any massive shocks in there. The one shock, I think, is the inclusion of Fabian Delph, in all honesty, because he's been roundly criticised, Roy Hodgson, for suggesting the omission of Theo Walcott was down to lack of game time, when you've got three players in that squad who have played less football than Theo Walcott this season. And Fabian Delph is one of those.
Yeah.
And he's indefinitely on credit from previous appearances rather than on merit from what he's achieved this season. So maybe a slight surprise to see him make the 26-man squad, and I'd be astounded if he was in the 23.
Yeah, I think I agree. Let's frame some betting around this then, DK, because the two players that we spoke about there, Marcus Rashford and Fabian Delph, both very short not to make the squad. It's 1-4, Rashford doesn't make the 23. 1-5, Fabian Delph doesn't make the 23. We could probably see those coming, and I think those two will definitely be cut. The one that really interests me is the third player to be cut. The trade has priced up Danny Drinkwater as the favourite in this market, 4-7 not to travel. Just doesn't look right for me. I think the framing of the squad and the players he's selected does suggest that it looks as though one striker and two central midfield players would need to drop out. But I think personally, I'd sooner drop Jordan Henderson from those central midfield positions rather than Danny Drinkwater. Yeah. And there'll be plenty of people who will say Andros Townsend should be on the chopping block for those three players. Very surprised to see Drinkwater at that price.
Yeah, I think Drinkwater, I expect him to go as well. But I think you're right. And it's difficult to, given the style that Hodgson plays, it's difficult to pigeonhole players into certain positions and say, these are your midfielders, these are your selection of midfielders, these are your strikers. Because if the stories that are emanating from the squad are true, Wayne Rooney will be dropping back. So he'll be... you can't even class him as a striker or a midfielder, really. He'll probably be playing at the tip of the diamond, you would expect, whereas Eric Dyer will play at the base of the diamond. But looking at those players, you have got a lot of central midfielders there, and that's why that market is framed around the likes of Fabian Delph and Jordan Henderson and Danny Drinkwater not to go, because I think the perception here is that two of the three players that are omitted will be central midfielders. But if you're dropping Wayne Rooney back into that midfield fold, then you've only got the four strikers in Harry Kane, Jamie Vardy, Daniel Sturridge and Marcus Rashford. I wouldn't take Jordan Henderson because I think he has had a poor season and I don't think he adds anything to the squad or the team. I can't see him starting, so Jordan Henderson would be the one that I would leave out. For him not to go, it's 11-4. But I think that there could be a little bit of value in that market because I think Danny Drinkwater, yes, to be in the final squad at 5-4 is a decent price. I had a conversation with a friend of mine this morning about this, and he suggested that Danny Drinkwater has only even come into the reckoning because he's got N'Golo Kanté playing alongside him,
right?
And he's carried carried Danny Drinkwater this season, but I'm not sure that's true. The 1-5 for Fabian Delph not to go is to coin a phrase like finding money in the street, really, because I don't envisage any possibility of him going. And Andros Townsend 6-4 not to go is maybe a little bit skinny. I'd maybe want a bigger price there. I think they framed the market pretty spot on, the compilers. If I was going to have one bet, maybe I'd back Jordan Henderson not to go at 11-4. But that's based mostly from what I'm feeling rather than what I think Roy Hodgson's thinking. I think that the market's pretty much spot on there, and I wouldn't be in a rush to back any of those at the current prices.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I think your judgment can be clouded based on who you personally would want in the squad compared to what Mr. Hodgson's thinking. The one player in that market we haven't really touched on, DK, is Jack Wilshere. Now, I know for you and me, we've both said this before the podcast, we both would have taken him. There'll be a lot of people, though, pointing to the fact that he's played just 141 minutes for Arsenal this season. Mm-hmm. I think it's just one start for him. Are you, well, obviously you've already said you're not surprised to see Jack Wilshere in the squad. I personally think it's a positive inclusion, but given what he said about Theo Walcott, no one in that squad has played less minutes
than Wilshere. I'm sure he already regrets that, Hodgson. I'm sure he wishes he'd have chosen his words more wisely, because in today's age, since the inception of Twitter, everything that anyone says comes under scrutiny straight away. And obviously, they've picked up on the fact that he's said that, and we've got three players in this 26-man squad who haven't played as much as Theo Walcott this season. If Jack Wilshere is fit, he not only goes with the squad, he starts in the team.
I think I agree.
In my opinion. So I'd definitely take Jack Wilshere. Yes, he's 1-5. If he can prove his fitness, which hopefully he will do, his performances for England have been absolutely outstanding, and Hodgson loves him. Mm. And I think he's right to as well. I think in terms of central midfielders, he is the best we've got, Jack Wilshere. So yes, 1-5, and if he's fit, start him in that team as well.
Yeah, okay. I think I would agree with that. All the betting then available on the website. If you head to the specials tab on the homepage, you can check out the To Make England's 23-man 2016 Euro squad betting. Got yes, no on a variety of players there we've just mentioned. But we're going to look ahead to a couple of games this week. And rather surprisingly, we're looking ahead to a Premier League game, DK, which we did not expect. For one reason or another, Manchester United Bournemouth was abandoned amid safety concerns on Sunday, and that game is to be played on Tuesday night instead. Manchester United here 8-13, 16-5 the draw, and Bournemouth at 19-5. A whole host of enhanced odds offers for this one. The top four, barring an absolute mathematical miracle, is out of Manchester United's reach. They'll be keen to get the job done here.
Yeah, they will. The odds have changed subsequently after what happened at the weekend, because Manchester City, obviously, getting that point against Swansea means Manchester United can't catch them, can't get that Champions League place. So you've got to feel that Louis van Gaal, with the FA Cup final coming up on Saturday, is going to choose his team wisely here, and some of the fringe players that haven't been featuring in the starting 11 will get their chance. I expect Memphis Depay, that's why he's part of the headline offer. I think Memphis Depay will come in. He'll play in this game because he won't be included in the starting 11 for the FA Cup final on Saturday against Crystal Palace. I'm not even sure if they beat Crystal Palace, Louis van Gaal will be in charge next season. So this could be his last Premier League game at Old Trafford. He might want to go out on a high, but I still think he'll be considering resting key personnel for this match. And that's why the odds have changed. They were 2-5, I think, when we recorded the punt on Friday, and the V's to 8-13 now. I still think they're too short in the betting, because it could be a completely makeshift lineup. And there's some incentive for Bournemouth here as well, because Bournemouth, if they win this game, they'll jump up a couple of places in the league, which would be an extra £2.5 million in terms of club revenue, which is important for a club of the size of Bournemouth. And if they pick up a point, they'll go up in the league a position as well, which will be worth about £800,000. So it's well worth Bournemouth and their players putting it in here. The problem for Bournemouth is they've only picked up 4 points from their last 7 away matches in the Premier League. 3 of those came at Villa Park. So their away form recently not being good. However, if you look at that on the flip side, they've only lost 3 of their last 12 away from home. And at these prices, you couldn't, still couldn't consider backing Manchester United in the 90-minute market. If I'm looking for a pro Manchester United bet, I'd probably play Manchester United and under 2.5 goals, which is available here at a price of 100-30, which it was at the before the incident at the weekend as well. So I think that's a decent price, but it doesn't mean Manchester United are going to win. They've won just 18 league games this season, and if they don't beat Bournemouth, they'll set a new club record for fewest wins in a full Premier League season. Current record is 19, which was in 2013-2014. I think if Charlie Daniels gets into position, he's got a chance to set Joshua King in motion in this match. Charlie Daniels does a lot of good work out wide, and Joshua King is 16-5 to score any time in this game, which I think is a worthwhile bet. I think Manchester United, they're just too lightweight in midfield. That's been the problem all season. With the likes of Ander Herrera and Juan Mata, I think Mata might start in this game, and Herrera could start as well. They can be bullied easily, and we saw that last Tuesday against West Ham. They lacked that intensity and that bite early on. No one grabbed the game, and that's why they're so keen on getting Marouane Fellaini involved at the weekend for that FA Cup match, and why I think Louis van Gaal was upset, even though people still like, it's Marouane Fellaini, who cares about Marouane Fellaini? But he adds a lot to this team because of his physicality in key areas. Without him, they struggle, Manchester United. I'd love to see the team news, because I think on the back of team news, these prices are going to adjust dramatically. And I think 8-13 might get even bigger if he does play a really makeshift side. The likes of Cameron Borthwick-Jackson, I think, will play. Phil Jones might even come in. He's been injured most of the season, probably won't be ready to feature in that starting 11 for the FA Cup final, but could be given game time here. Team news is vitally important. If I was having a bet on Manchester United, I'd back Manchester United and under 2.5 goals at 100-30. But I'm more tempted at this moment in time to play Bournemouth +1 at 5-4. So Bournemouth or the draw. The draw would be beneficial for Manchester United because it would mean they leapfrog Southampton and finish fifth in the league. So that could be a slight incentive for Manchester United. So I'll go Bournemouth plus one at 5-4. And if you are looking for a pro Manchester United bet, Manchester United and under 2.5 goals, which is in the betting at 100-30.
Okay, a couple of thoughts for DK then with the main pick, Bournemouth plus a goal in that match at the price of 5-4. We move on to some European action now on Wednesday evening. It's the Europa League final between Liverpool and Sevilla being played out in Switzerland. Liverpool here are 7-5. The draw is 21-10 and Sevilla are in the betting at 21-10. Again, a whole host of enhanced odds offers here on the website. I'll spin you through a couple of those now. Daniel Sturridge to score in a Liverpool win is 4-1 and Kevin Gamero to score in a Sevilla win is 5-1. Load of enhanced odds offers on that page for you. Two sides with a good record in this competition. We know, of course, Sevilla have won this for the last two seasons, but Liverpool, as we know, very, very partial to success in Europe. And Sevilla's away form has been concerning this year. I know Liverpool are technically away from home as well, but they've been better on the road than Sevilla this term.
They have, but the one thing that concerns you when you're looking at Liverpool's away record in the Europa League is that since the competition started back in September, you look at their away performances in the Europa League and they've not scored more than one goal away from Anfield. And they've only won one of those matches as well, beating Rubin Kazan. I think it's so inspirational, Anfield, on a big European night, or so I'm told anyway.
Yeah.
Or so I've heard, and I've spoken to numerous journalists on the FWA podcast about this. And I can't remember who it was that said there's a difference between the likes of Anfield and Old Trafford on a big European evening than when you're going to the Etihad and the Emirates. And maybe if I could clip that out, I would, because I'm sure it would antagonise some of the Chelsea and Manchester City and Arsenal fans. But he was adamant that on big European evenings that the likes of, or at Anfield and at Old Trafford, there's a difference in the atmosphere, and that's clearly inspired the Liverpool players this season because they've put in some incredible performances at home. You look at their home record in the Europa League, it's been absolutely outstanding, including that 2-0 win against Manchester United. Then they turned it around against Dortmund, winning 4-3, and against Villarreal, special performance, winning 3-0. So the concern is we are not going to have that same sort of atmosphere in Basel, are we?
No.
In Switzerland, because we know that that stadium is a lot smaller.
Yes. It's going to be very, very different. Very, I suppose, almost strange for the players to be playing in a venue that they perhaps wouldn't associate with a big European Cup final, given that it's smaller than the venues they play in week out, pretty much. Likewise, the Sevilla players.
It's a crazy decision, really, if you think about it, isn't it? Because there's such a demand for tickets for this game. Liverpool wanted an allocation, or could have sold an allocation, of maybe 50,000, and they're getting a fraction of that. So it's going to be a very, very different evening. The prices here, Sam, are skewed heavily in Liverpool's favour. 7-5 Liverpool to win the game. Sevilla, who have won this competition the last 2 years and have a storied history in the Europa League, are as big as 21-10 to win this game. In 90 minutes, that is. So I just think the odds are framed around people just thinking, you know, like there's almost a feeling of inevitability about Liverpool winning the Europa League this season, if you get what I mean.
I know what you mean.
It's not, there's no real basis for that assertion. It's just, oh, Liverpool have been incredible in the Europa League. Jurgen Klopp's an amazing manager, and they're destined to win the Europa League and qualify for the Champions League next season. And you did mention Sevilla's poor away form, and it has been pretty dismal recently. Both teams away from home here. But Sevilla, in the last 2 months, have been dismal. They've only won at Athletic Club, and they've lost four of their last five on the road in all competitions, Sevilla. But they've got some big-name players. Kevin Gamero's been fantastic in this competition. He's scored six goals in his last five Europa League matches. And the one sort of slight wrinkle in this is Jurgen Klopp's record against Sevilla, because he was manager at both Mainz and Dortmund, and they took on Sevilla in the Europa League. Mainz drew 0-0 at home and lost 2-0 away to Sevilla in the first round of the, what was the UEFA Cup back in 2005-2006. And then in the Europa League group stages in 2010-2011, his Dortmund side lost 1-0 at home and drew 2-2 in Sevilla. So Klopp's faced Sevilla as a coach four times and never won, which I'm not saying that's going to play any sort of factor on Wednesday night, but it's slightly interesting in terms of the match and how it's going to materialise. I just think Liverpool are a little bit short in the betting here. I think it's going to be very tight. Mm. Very tight, very cagey affair, and not like a big European night at Anfield. I'm leaning towards the draw at 21-10. But if you're looking at an enhanced odds offer, Kevin Gamero to score and Sevilla to win in 90 minutes, 5-1 looks slightly overpriced to me. And it will be intriguing to see how Liverpool set up in this match as well, because earlier on in the tournament, Jurgen Klopp wasn't particularly keen in entrusting Daniel Sturridge to lead the line, maybe because of his perceived lack of work rate. But in the previous round against Villarreal, he did lead the line with Roberto Firmino tucked in behind. And Emre Can, who's been an absolute beast in midfield, I think he's going to be an absolute superstar, Emre Can. And he's almost a leader in the team, in my opinion. I think if he can really grab this game, they can dominate in midfield. Philip Coutinho, you'd expect to start the match as well, and James Milner is bound to play. But interesting to see if he goes with Daniel Sturridge to lead the line. I assume he will, but there's a possibility he might play with a false striker in Roberto Firmino and really go defensively minded Klopp. I don't think that will happen. I like the draw at 21-10. I just think Liverpool are slightly underpriced in the market, so I'm leaning draw Sevilla. But I'll play the draw 21-10, and I think it's going to be quite tight as well.
Okay, a draw then in that game. If you do fancy it to be a draw after 120 minutes of football, we go 9-2 about the game to go to penalties if you fancy that. But it's the draw in 90 minutes for DK at 21-10. Thank you very much for that, Dave. Best of luck, and I hope you enjoy the action this week, both at Old Trafford and at St. Jakob Park in Basel.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.